This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, hot, dry weather this week is putting corn and bean acres under some stress, but we're not losing a good crop just yet. Seed Department Manager for CHS and Shipman, Dwayne Milner, says crops are still progressing the way they should be. They've been busy applying fungicide, and we also talked about Xtend soybeans and dicamba.
The scattered showers have definitely been where you've got them. You've been pretty fortunate. They've helped out a ton, especially going into a week where we're going to have a 100-degree heat index. And, you know, it's going to take its toll, especially on a lot of the lighter ground and on a lot of the clay hills and stuff like that that haven't received the rain. They're definitely firing up pretty good. Some people have asked if it's nitrogen deficiencies and that kind of stuff. It's definitely not. It's just lack of water stress and availability of that nitrogen getting into that plant. And even the soybeans on that same kind of dirt, you know, they're really struggling to get canopy, shade the ground, and you know, continue to grow and do their normal processes with the lack of moisture. Where we've seen the corn that got planted early on some of the heavier dirt, even with the lack of rain, it still looks pretty good. It has started to definitely tip back on the ear size after it's pollinated and went through that process, but it still has some time to catch some rain and be pretty good corn. We've definitely knocked off the top end of it, but, you know, we've got a little more time. But whenever you go more to that lighter side of the ground, you know, it's definitely struggling along to get pollinated and start to fill its ear on that earlier stuff. And, you know, as we were looking at, you know, this year, we had a lot of uneven stands and we had to do a lot of replant. You know, that later stuff's really trying to pollinate through this heat this week, and or that replant corn is, and it definitely has a long way to go, and it definitely needs some moisture.
That's what I was going to ask about with the pollinating. That's kind of one of the a big time for the plant, and, of course, that's where our yields come from. So I think, as you said, if we would get a rain, that would really help out these crops. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Yes, it definitely would. You know, and I was in quite a few fields yesterday scouting several of them for disease and that. And, you know, they're pollinating right now, and they're, you know, on some of those replant fields, and they're pollinating, and they're pushing silk. So they're doing their normal thing. It's just a matter of, you know, how much more stress they can handle as they're going through that.
Well, good to hear that we're not in too dire of conditions yet, so we hope we get some rain later on this week and it cools off a little bit. Whether it's in corn or soybeans, I think I talked with someone from CHS a couple weeks ago. He mentioned Japanese beetles. Are those still an issue? Does it depend on the area or just insect pressure in general? How do things look this year?
It definitely depends on the area. I mean, the Japanese beetles, our pressures around here have decreased over the last several years. But, I mean, they're in heavy pockets, you know, more of an issue. And, you know, with the Japanese beetles, for instance, they're more of an issue with fruit trees and flowers and, you know, around some edges of those fields and soybeans and corn. But throughout a whole field, we just don't see the big pressure anymore. Now, I have been in several fields this year that have got a lot more western corn rootworm beetle that are coming out right now. So, you know, they're clipping silks. I'm not as worried about than what they're going to do this year, but I have definitely seen a lot more rootworm beetle this year than I have in the last few. So just for future reference going in the future with, you know, picking hybrids and corn on corn, you know, we've went to a lot of heavy double pro hybrids, and I think that's something that we just need to be concerned about as we go corn on corn in the future.
So a lot of those things can help be controlled, as you said, by choosing the right hybrid, but do seed treatments have a lot to do with that as well?
On the rootworm side, not as much. I mean, you know, you can go to the higher rate seed treatments, but really it's just all about the trait on to control the corn rootworm.
Okay. Well, the other thing to mention is that we've seen some planes out over the fields here lately spraying some fungicides, or at least you can tell us what they're spraying, but I know that's kind of a hot time to be doing that right now. So, Dwayne, how are things going, and has CHS been busy with that?
Yeah, we've been spraying quite a few fields. The early corn, you know, it's definitely most of it should have been sprayed by now, the real early corn. The other corn's just getting in the time to where in the wheelhouse that you would. I would say fungicide on corn has been down a little bit this year just for the fact of lack of disease pressure and lack of water and the economics of it. But, I mean, in certain situations, it's still beneficial and still something that we need to be thinking about. I just recommend just making sure you keep an eye on the fields and seeing how much rust we're getting in it. Rust has been the hot topic this year for it, so just keep an eye on it. Soybeans is the early soybeans, is the ones that are planted in that middle April part. They're definitely in the right timing to do that at R3. And they need to be started now. Now the ones that got planted in the first part of May, they're getting really close to about a week off. So it's some just about staging and scouting and making sure we keep an eye on the window. The soybean return on investment on fungicides has been huge for the last several years, and I bet we continue to see the amount of acres continue to rise on how much fungicide we put on soybeans.
With the fungicide, obviously, like anything, you usually want to prevent things before they happen. But if a plant was starting to see some disease and then you sprayed fungicide, would that help stop that and not let it advance any further? Or, you know, how does it help?
Yep. So, I mean, you know, with the fungicides we use now was dual mode of action fungicides, and it would help suppress the disease that was there and then control the rest of the new leaves from getting it, you know, for amount of a time period. So that's, you know, we're using two modes of action to where you don't, you know, if a leaf is completely diseased, you're not going to bring it back to life. There's just no way to do that. But you can kill the disease at that point and keep it from spreading to the other leaves.
All right. Well, sounds good. And I will continue seeing those planes flying around for a few more days, I'm sure. And Dwayne,
yep.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, it's been a hot topic this whole year and definitely now through the growing season, and it's our Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans and dicamba and spraying issues. So does CHS have any acres that they've been spraying, or just kind of maybe an update on how things are going with that as this is kind of the first full growing season to use those technologies?
Yep. Yeah, we've sprayed several acres of the Extend soybeans, and you know, early on it definitely all went really smoothly. It's worked really well. If you're spraying within the label on killing the weeds, it's been a great tool to have. There has been naturally some issues where you've seen a little bit of fine particle drift or just a little bit of off-target spraying with, you know, sensitive crops, and it's something that we're gonna have to just work around and make sure that we follow the label, work on the buffer strips, and we manage that. You know, I know people don't like to see, you know, as Roundup's not working real well, that 120-foot buffer strip next to a sensitive crop, they don't like to see the weeds not die. But it's something we're, you know, using that technology, we're going to have to be mindful of. And most of the issues have been some small amount of drift that took about 2 to 3 weeks to show up. You know, that stunted the beans, kept the beans naturally, and that's something we're just going to have to work around. Now, them beans are definitely stressed. They're not dying, but we'll have to see how much yield difference that does cause in the end.
But there are some benefits to this new technology, because I've heard people talk about resistance to Roundup, so this is something different than that. Is Dwayne, anything about the technology or that you'd like to explain to us how it differs, or, you know, what we're benefiting from using it?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, we're getting two modes of action. I mean, I know a lot of water hemp is very, very tolerant of Roundup, or some places resistant. It's given us two modes of action to work on it, and that's what we've kind of been missing, you know. In soybeans, whenever we try to kill a weed, we've been going after all these weeds with one mode of action, and that's where you're having your issues come up. And unlike corn, where we're going out there with three, four different modes of action to kill all the weeds out there in the field, soybeans, we've been going out there with one for several years. So it just gives us another tool to actually control water hemp. And, you know, it's just something that we need to be mindful of as we go through, and hopefully we get more of these traits stacked on top of each other to where we can go out there with two or three modes of action at one time instead of going out there with just one bullet in the gun.
And thanks again to Dwayne Milner, Seed Department Manager for CHS out of their shipment office, for that report. And that's all we have time for today on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.